Come on, Barry. You can do it.
I'm typing on the wrong... We have faith in you, Barry. I'm typing on the wrong keyboard.
Okay, maybe you can't do it. We've lost faith in you, Barry.
Not with these tools.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night QRM. Your hosts tonight are Jash, Barry J, Barty, and Michael, the virtual Youper. Tonight, iPhone 5, it's here, and it's too thin. Is warp drive a reality? And snow on the Youper, winter is coming. All that and more on Late Night QRM. And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire. Here's Jash, Barry J, Barty, and Michael! Hey everybody, welcome to Late Night QRM, show number 64, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, I'm Jash.
And from central New York, this is Barty.
And from the man cave in the rural suburbs of Copper Harbor, I'm Michael, the virtual Youper.
And welcome everybody. We're back to normal this week after last week's Easy 63 show. And I don't know, we still have some topics from last week that we left in there. Of course, the big news this week, iPhone 5! I've got mine right here in my hot little hands. And I can say is, yeah, it's an iPhone. It's faster. It has five rows of icons now on the much larger screen.
Well, thank God. I was getting so hamstrung by only having four rows.
I know. It's like it was like, geez, you know. But now
start throwing things into folders and stuff. I mean, geez.
How 80s is that?
So as I told you last week, I stayed up on the Friday, I guess it was Thursday night here. Actually, it was Friday morning. They went on, you could pre-order, what was it, the 14th, I think, at 12 a.m. Pacific time. So it was 3 a.m. our time. I pre-ordered, and mine said it would be here on the 21st. And lo and behold, 10 o'clock in the morning, the UPS guy showed up. My iPhone 5 was here. And I didn't have to wait in any lines for this one. So
awesome.
It was nice. And I like it. It is much lighter than the iPhone 4. It's much thinner than the iPhone 4. Matter of fact, I think it's too thin. And because it's like... I now have a case on it. I put a case on it because I like to have a little kickstand. And so I got a little case with a kickstand. And that's making it easier. But when it was just the bare iPhone 5 and I put it on the table, it was like trying to pick a dime off of a counter. You know, it's that thin. It's hard to get a hold of it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's pretty thin. And you know, I ended up doing like what you do to get a dime off of the counter. You know, I'm sliding it across to the edge and then picking it up from the edge of the counter. But now
so I can see from now on, there's going to be one fingernail that you're not going to trim anymore.
Well, I did get this case. I got a case for it, and it's kind of got a rubberized sides to it and a kickstand, so it makes it a little bit thicker and just thick enough that I can pick it up now. And because it's rubber on the sides now, it's easier to pick up. So I recommend getting a case if you can, although you don't need to because the back is aluminum now. And except for two slivers of plastic on the top and bottom, and I think that's for the antennas. So, one thing I will notice is the pictures that it takes are much better, and man, is that camera fast. I mean,
those pictures on Facebook that you posted from Vermont, was that taken with that phone?
Yeah.
Man, you're serious. So those really were some pretty nice looking pictures.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable the pictures you can get. And I'm sitting there and I'm clicking it. And before, you know, you used to click it, and then you'd see the picture go. You know, it kind of swoop out and into the your in the little square down at the bottom of the left hand screen. This time, it's like you click and boom, it's down there. Boom. Boom, boom. I mean, you can sit there and click them. Boom, 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 like that.
Well, have you read some of the reports about what that processor entails? It's a dual-core processor that has three graphics processors built in.
Wow. I didn't understand the three. I didn't know about the three graphics processors. But well, I was
reading that, I think, on Apple Insider or Mac Rumors.
Really?
That the people have already started taking them apart, which, you know, is typical. And they've already broken down the processor and figured out all the different parts and pieces of it.
Well, it's definitely the camera is way improved over the old one. As far as speed and ability, you know, just the clarity of the pictures. And they have that feature. Well, I don't know if it's iOS 6. I guess it's iOS 6 that gives you the feature where you can take a panoramic shot. And basically, you know, you select panoramic, and then it's got a little, it shows you the picture, and you hit the button, and it has like an arrow on a straight line, and you use that, you keep the arrow basically as close to the straight line as you can. You just start moving the camera around across the, you know, the field that you want to, the picture you want to take, and then you hit the done button at the end, and boom, it's like instantly you get a panoramic picture.
Well, they have a commercial out that illustrates that.
Yes, yeah.
I saw it just today.
Yeah, it just came out.
I was watching football games.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, that is pretty awesome.
Yeah, because, you know, before I used to have to use a program called like Stitch It or something like that. Well, it's like, throw those guys away now, because I don't need that with this camera.
Yeah. Well, I have Photoshop, which will sew photos together as well.
Yeah, yeah. But this is nice. The camera's really nice. Now we'll get to the dreaded maps. And this is iOS 6.
A lot of bad news on maps. You know, yeah. I was kind of apprehensive when I heard that Apple was going to be replacing Google Maps with another map utility. And I recently took a business trip down to North Carolina, down to Fort Bragg. And I experimented with it on the way down because I had a pre-release version of iOS 6 on my iPad. It's an iPad 3. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, I would much, much rather have the Google Maps because, well, I guess, for the main, the one thing is I'm more familiar with it because I've been using it for a few years.
Yeah.
So, you know, the turn-by-turn instructions, you know, are all things I'm more familiar with. Where the Apple one, it seems to be leaving details out, and there are crucial points where you're like kind of guessing. Well, what does this really mean? You know, or with the Google one, you could like, you know, do the old split finger movement and zoom in and see exactly what they were talking about. This doesn't quite work that way. That was kind of disappointing. You know, it worked in a functional manner, but it just didn't give you the detail that you really wanted when you really needed it.
and I find that interesting because, you know, if you look, they're getting they're getting their maps, I think, from several sources, but when you open the thing up, it actually tells you that it's from TomTom.
TomTom, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, well, these guys have been in the GPS business forever.
Well, I never really liked TomTom, to be honest.
I've never had one.
I kind of lean more towards Magellan.
Now, I did take it we went to Vermont yesterday, up to Chester, Vermont. They have a little fall festival there, and then we went on to the Vermont Country Store. And I know how to get there blindfolded because we've been there so many times and stuff, but I decided I'd give...
It's not like there's that many roads in Vermont.
That's true. But I took... I decided to give it a test drive, and so I did it from Siri, too. I hit Siri, and I said, give me directions to Chester, Vermont, and she popped up a map, and there were three routes, the first route being the one that I usually take, And I said, okay, let's go. And it did a good job. But then again, you know, I guess they've got New Hampshire and Vermont down decently, but it didn't.
Well, yeah, but that's also like, you know, I was, you know, kind of being humorous about it, but it's also an area that really doesn't have a whole lot of roads, you know, there's not a whole lot of other alternate routes, you know, unlike something like the D.C. area, you know.
Yeah.
And driving down to North Carolina and trying to circumnavigate D.C., it couldn't find other routes. And my iPad had iOS 6 on it, and my wife's iPad had iOS 5, and I was using Google Maps on her iPad, and it was when I dragged a little dot over saying I wanted to go around D.C., it instantly picked other routes, whereas the maps in iOS 6 could not. It had no idea what I was trying to do, and it was trying to reroute me back to that same route.
That's bad.
It's like, no, I don't want that mess.
Yeah, I understand.
I've been there before, and I know what happens there. I don't want to go there.
And I understand Michael's had some problems with the mapping up his way.
Oh yeah, already. Well, first of all, it's not anywhere close to accurate in my neck of the woods.
Well, they probably haven't
roads. That roads that are supposed to be there. Well, there are some maps. There's some roads on the map that were platted back in the 40s that never were built. Already, I've had some issues because I have two driveways into my property. Both of them are now listed as entrances to the state park.
Oh, wow.
And this afternoon,
that's not good.
This afternoon, there was an RV set up in one of my driveways.
If I were you, I'd start charging rent and admission.
There you go.
That's funny.
May I see your papers, please?
Did you casually walk up to him and say, "New iPhone 5?
Let me guess, you uploaded iOS 6.
Excuse me, there's an iOS 6 charge for parking here.
Did you see that?
Yeah, well, the issues across the street are going to be even worse. A lot of my neighbors' private driveways are now listed as roads with names on them yet. There's going to be some issues. But yeah, both of my driveways are listed as roads into the East campground of the state park.
Wow.
So I do see problems. Yeah, I'm on the map. That's for sure.
Wow.
So, I tried to do a check-in, a Facebook check-in, which apparently is using Apple's Maps, because I was at my son's homecoming game Friday night. And I'm sitting at the school, you know, football field. Think that would be on the map. And it says, well, we don't know where this is, but right next door to you is Spirit of the North. And I'm like, no, Spirit of the North is my neighbor, which is a shop in Copper Harbor, 35 miles from here. And they've got it listed in Copper Harbor. And somebody else decided to just for fun set their mapping from Calumet to Copper Harbor. And there's like, you know, really one way. Mm-hmm. And it routed them to Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Oh my God!
What?
Oh, Dave, as my comment there goes, Tim needs to have the mobile me talk with the navigation team because this is a major screw up. Matter of fact, this makes mobile me look like a neat feature.
Well, geez, it sounds like that app that Barry J and I used once when we were going up to a friend of his.
That's Waze.
Oh my God!
Waze is involved in this too, aren't they?
I think they are. Just for information.
Your
traffic information. No, traffic information and everything. Waze is good. Never use.
Pretty much found Waze to be pretty accurate because they create a lot of their roads. And a lot of their routes by the way Waze users are driving, because you can turn on record this route and then you drive it, so you know it has to be a valid route unless you're in a Jeep going through the woods, you know.
Oh, but that's my area. Most of my neighbors are like, roads, we don't need roads.
Yeah,
well, here's the thing, like, with Waze is great to get traffic information, to find out where police are hiding, where construction sites are and everything like that. It's great.
It's
for
the
that
new channel 19.
Just do not plan a route with it.
Because I
go to work and pardon?
Moose in the road.
Well, I I go to work and I have it routed in, and Waze always wants me to take me up to the next exit. And I say, no, I'm going go down here. You know, I'm not going to go down to the next exit because, you know, my company's place is right here next to this exit. So I go across and then it reroutes me and it takes me over. It's actually the road I go over, the highway, and I get on the other side, and literally the company, the building for the company is right on the right there. It wants me to turn left, go up about 5 miles, make a U-turn, and then come back down. And it still does that. So, yeah, don't use Waze for getting directions. It's actually worse than the iOS 6 right now. So, and, you know, all I can say is the mapping on iOS 6 can only get better. I don't think it can get worse.
You know, yeah. What's interesting about that is a lot of the pundits that are writing about it were saying that that a lot of the journalists have been waiting for signs that the company is starting to stumble without Steve Jobs. And they were pointing to the fact that this map program was actually released and put out to the public in its current form, whereas Steve Jobs would have never allowed this to happen.
No,
it would not be released until it was good enough to use.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you on that.
But he probably would have browbeated people into getting it done in time for the release.
Yeah, that's also true. And the other thing, and hopefully Apple will change their mind on this, but they said Google has already got a map app ready to go on iOS 6. It's just waiting to get permission to put it on.
They've already released it, from what I heard.
Well, it's not on the App Store yet. They're waiting to get approval from Apple. And I hope this isn't one of those deals where Apple's going to say, oh, no, we've already got that similar app there, so we're not going to let you.
I don't think they can legally do that.
Well, they've done it on other things, and it was more under Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs used to be the guy to do that. I'm hoping Tim will let the Google Maps app come.
I would think that they would lose on it on a legal challenge.
Maybe, but you know, these guys spend probably more time in court now than they do, you know, developing software. So,
oh yeah, between Samsung and Motorola and things, yeah.
So, but we'll see. And the thing that doesn't bother me that much about it, and it may sound strange, but even with the Google Maps that were on the other phone, which isn't the same Google Maps that's on Androids, because you can't get turn by turn and directions and stuff. So I ended up getting a third-party app anyway. I use Copilot, and there's many other ones out there that are nice.
Well, a lot of that has to do with the carrier, because like Verizon does not want Google to provide those services because they sell an app called VZ Navigator that they would rather have people spend money to use. Right. Because no, you can get the app for free, but there's a monthly charge to have it.
Right.
$10 a month.
It's available on our company phones, but the company pays for it, you know, so, you know, I'll abuse the crap out of that.
Well, I use Copilot, and it cost me probably, it was like a $30 app, I think. But the nice thing is, and it's not so much a problem anymore, but in the beginning of smartphones, sometimes coverage was flaky, so a lot of the GPS ones that download the maps as you're going along, I would be going across a grid of, you know, just a blank grid sometimes because it wouldn't download the map. And so Copilot actually gives you the maps. Now, it does consume a little space on your phone, but if I hit a rough spot, I still got all my maps. And some of the other ones are getting better. Now, a lot of them allow you to plan your route, and they'll automatically or pre-download all the maps you need to get to where you're going. So they're getting better about it, but I still like Copilot, and that's the one I use the most right now if I'm going somewhere.
There were funny situations with past iPads where I had Google Maps, where I had GPS coverage and other coverage, but it would put a dot on the screen, show me where I was at, but it didn't have internet access to be able to download the map data. So it really was no good at all, because it was like a dot on this gray grid.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
And it was like, well, okay.
Yeah.
As soon as I got into some an area of internet access or cell phone access, I could download a map and see where I was. But if you don't have cell phone access, Tron. You're kind of screwed.
Yeah, and that's especially people that live in the rural areas, because you don't have the greatest cell coverage. So, you know, or you hit your dead spots, and if you happen to need map while you're in that dead spot.
I can always tell when a Verizon customer drives, is in a camp down the road, because we have a dirt road that continues on for about 4 miles. Then there's camps up and down there, and people from Vermont and Connecticut own a lot of the camps. I can always tell when a Verizon customer has discovered a signal at my house, because they pull up and they stop just after my mailbox, and they'll sit there for like 10-15 minutes, because the company gives me a Verizon cell network extender
that
I plug into my DSL connection,
right?
So I can get calls on my company Verizon phone,
right?
Because I'm on call frequently.
Yeah.
Like in this case, I'm on call starting this Monday. But, you know, it's really kind of funny, because you can always tell when the Verizon customers detect a signal, because they stop real fast. and then they pull over in front of my house.
You know? Now, they can't use your cell, though.
Yes,
right?
They can.
Oh, they can? You
There's
got
no
it open?
Way of blocking it, because it's not like a cable modem where you can put in a SID or something like that, or a password to get into it. You know, it's just like broadcast. Blankly.
Well, no, mine.
It's assumed. What?
I have an AT&T one. They gave it to me because I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and you won't let any phones go on there unless they're registered with it.
No, not this one. The one that they gave me lets anybody and everybody connect to it.
And, well, the company's paying for it. I was going to say, I would have them pay me for helping out their network, if that was the case. But I bet you, if you're a normal person getting that...
There's no monthly charge for it. You just pay a one-time fee to buy the device, and that's it. You're done.
Okay. And they get a free, you know, a little free help with their network in your area.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it doesn't happen very often. You know, it's like once or twice a month, somebody will are obviously sitting there with their phone waiting to catch a signal, and they'll stop real fast, you know, and they'll back up a bit, and they'll pull up right just after our mailbox, sit there for about 10-15 minutes, you know, because they've hit a cell signal, because you have to go like 10 miles in any direction from my house to get one.
Jeez, yeah, that's funny. Yeah, that's another thing with the iPhone 5 I haven't figured out yet either, because it is not connecting up to my little cell in the house, and I'm wondering if it's because I can get a AT&T signal, and the AT&T signal it can connect to is 4G. So I'm wondering, and of course my cell's only 3G, and so I'm wondering whether the phone goes and scans and it connects up to the fastest speed.
Your cell is only 3G?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's
because the new iPhone 5 Verizon phones are all 4G.
No, my the phone is 4G. My little mobile cell in the house is only 3G.
Okay, well, my Verizon repeater is also only 3G.
Yeah, so what I found with my iPhone 4 connects up to it with no problems. I have yet to get the iPhone 5 to connect up to it, and I think it's because it can connect to another AT&T signal, and it connects at 4G, so it's going for the fastest speed instead of, you know.
Well, I don't blame it. I'd go for the fastest speed too.
Yeah. So yeah, but that probably means that I won't be using my little cell, you know, mini cell or whatever it's called, anymore, because it's always going to try to connect up to the tower instead of getting 5 bars in my house. You know? So, well, Michael, you also said something here. Whoa, photosync issues with iOS 6.
Yeah, I, in addition to using the photo program that comes with OS X and iOS, mm-hmm. there's been an app out for a long time called PhotoSync, where it allows you to synchronize from iPhone to iPhone, iPhone to iPad, iPhone to Mac, whatever, over Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. And it sets up a separate camera roll, and I do that as well. And I took a number of pictures today, and including the dinner I was cooking tonight. I put that up on Facebook. I was going to email it to you guys, but I had problems. It came out a little late. But after updating my iPhone 4 and iPads and such to iOS 6 on Friday, this is the first time I did a sync. And holy cow, I hit sync. And it was grabbing pictures, Higgly Piggly, from a year and a half ago to about, 2 weeks ago, and resyncing them. I'm hoping it didn't overwrite anything.
Really?
Although I do have them backed up. But what it didn't do was sync any of the photos I took this weekend. So it's something, and there was just an update that came out for PhotoSync. So it may be a PhotoSync issue, but... Okay.
I hadn't noticed.
It's the first. That's the first app. I mean, other than Maps and other than PhotoSync, I'm really impressed with iOS 6. I've been having a blast with it, and now I've got Siri working on my iPad, so that's cool too. I mean, it's the first chance I've actually had to play with Siri. So, I mean, there's going to be some hiccups, and it might actually be a hiccup with PhotoSync. Yeah. I've been having a bear of a time updating some of Apple's stuff from their app store, and they've changed their app store. I'm sure you've
actually
noticed that too.
That's one of the things I love, because when there's updates for apps now, you no longer have to type in your frickin' password.
That's cool. It figures that maybe you're who you say you are. I like that.
So that's nice. That's a big plus. All you have to do is hit update all, and it goes off and does it. And it's different.
One of the things, getting back to Michael's comment about the photos, that's one of the things that kind of struck me recently. When I upgraded my wife's iPad 3 to iOS 6, and of course she has a iPhone 4S, and I updated that to iOS 6, she started showing me pictures that she wanted me to be printing. And it's like, how is she getting these darn pictures? Because, you know, I was using iPhoto and PhotoStream and sharing out a limited amount of pictures.
Yeah.
And this is not part of the collection I was sharing. And I was like, where is she getting these from? I mean, they're on my hard drive. I mean, you know, her and I have taken these pictures of our grandkids and things from the last time we visited them. And I'm like, how is she getting these on her iPad? You know, and I haven't figured that out yet. I don't know how she's seeing these, which, you know, I don't mind because, you know, it's my wife and all. And, it, you know, it's our grandkids and things. But I'm kind of wondering who else is finding this stuff.
It's not coming.
How are they doing it?
It's not coming across on PhotoStream.
I'm not exactly sure how she's getting it. But, you know, the only things I shared were things through iPhoto, very, very limited folders, and I filled the folders in iPhoto from, you know, different folders I have on my photography hard drive, and it was just, you know, limited things of the grandkids and things, you know, things that I had finished processing and things, because, you know, I don't want people looking at all the raw images, because a lot of that stuff needs some post-processing and things, or at least I think it needs some post-processing, and there's post-processing I want to do before people see these.
Well, I can tell you, I can tell you this: if you set up your gadgets, iPad and iPhones and stuff, to sync up with one of your machines, like your iMac, there, and if PhotoStream, okay, or a Mac Pro, and if you're photo streaming to it, so that they all get sent back to there, and if hers is set up to send hers back to there, then you guys are probably sharing your photo stream. So there, you know, when you send it back to the Mac, it sends it out to every gadget that's photo streaming from that. So it sends copies out to everybody. Not everybody per se, but just the machines that sync with that machine on PhotoStream. So you're within the family.
I can live with that. But although I can tell you that none of those devices have got a capacity to hold my our total photo library.
No, but it,
I had to replace the hard drive with a much bigger one because we ran out of space with all the pictures that we have.
It won't share. It'll only share the photos that you started taking once you set up PhotoStream. And I believe it doesn't even send it doesn't send out raw photos. It JPEGs them to us.
Very, very few JPEGs because almost everything I shoot is raw and gets processed into PSDs.
Okay, yeah. Well, I don't think those will go out from your camera. And if you load them onto your,
but that's what she's finding.
Oh, she's finding them.
Yes,
I would look into. I would look into the photo stream a little more. But supposedly, even if you load them raw onto your Mac Pro, it will send a JPEG out to that to your, you know, it photo streams a JPEG. It doesn't do the raw.
You know, that's all fine and good. I don't have no problem with that. As long as the only thing is sending it to are the known devices that I have connected to the Mac Pro in a network sense.
Right, right.
Because there's a ton of those.
That's I'm still trying to figure all that out. But I realized that when I was taking pictures with my iPhone, and this was when I was on travel, and I had my iPad with me, and I'd snap pictures with my iPhone, and not only did they go back to my MacBook Pro, but they'd also make it onto my iPad.
Yeah. Well, these are pictures that were taken with a Nikon D7000 in RAW mode, and she's looking at them on her iPad, and I'm like, and she says, I want, because she's going to go visit her mother tomorrow, and she's like, show me these pictures on her iPad, and can you print this and this and this for me? And I think, well, yeah, no problem.
Why don't you just pull out your iPad and
how is she getting these? You know, because they're all in RAW, and they've been also post-processed into just generic PSDs and things. But, you know, there hasn't been much further processing done.
I bet it
was a recent trip.
Yeah, check your settings. I bet you they're going out on the stream.
As long as it's just our devices, I don't care. You know, as long as it's not going out to all our friends across the internet, you know.
I don't think so. Hopefully not. All right. Well, should we end the talk on Apple now? Are we done? Is there anything else?
Jash has been. Well,
I got one other real quick.
Talk about something that breaks.
I got a real quick Twitter.
Speaking of things that breaks, how's your Harley doing?
Oh, wait a minute. Michael had something there.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I had a real quick Twitter note to add, and that is my wife took a sojourn outside today and went to our friend's house and had tea. And while she was doing that, I was sitting on the vehicle and looking at the updates, and there was a Twitter update. I'm like, well, cripe, didn't they just do an update last week? And I always read the, you know, what they fix type things when before I hit the update. It was a pretty interesting one today because it's, you know, like it's like Twitter 5.01. It's like, correcting a little error where in iOS 6 and specifically iPhone 5's, your tweet might be attributed to the wrong person. Like, oh, that's a good one.
Oh, man.
Let's fix this on the weekend real quick.
Well, that's another topic that we can go into later, maybe another show, because it's happening right now. And apparently, Twitter as a company is trying to, of course, monetize its business after it's become so famous. And in doing
that, could be a whole show on itself.
Yeah, they're basically putting advertising in, of course. And in doing so, of course, they want people to go on only their products. So they've been slowly but surely eliminating the third-party Twitter applications and
which
connections.
Were really, really instrumental in making Twitter pop
yes.
in the first place.
And I think, you know, Twitter could go away. Google Plus could take its place. If people wanted to switch, I mean, people, because they're creatures of habit, won't right now. But if they tick them off and they take away their favorite apps, and or they flood it so that every other post is a frickin' advertisement, I could see people walking away from Twitter. But I just don't understand what they're doing. They're basically almost shutting down their API, making it so limited that third-party people and other services, like, you know, you can send if you use Foursquare, you can have it automatically Twitter, or you can have it automatically also post Facebook and those kind of things. They're closing up shop on that stuff, and if they're not careful, they're going to find themselves, people will walk away from it if it's if they close
it'll be it up in the much. MySpace desert.
Yes. So, but well, Apple. I think we're done with Apple until, of course, October when they announce the Mac or the iPad Mini. And I know a certain person that's been kind of quiet now as we do all the Apple talk that'll be interested in that when it becomes available.
Who?
What? Huh? Cash, wake up!
Oh yeah, I love oranges.
No, Apple sued them out of existence back in the late 70s, early 80s.
That's right, right along with Franklin.
Yes, I am actually interested very, very, very much so in the announcement for the 7-inch iPad. I'm really looking forward to it, actually.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be available. Well, they'll make the announcement. I don't think have they set a date? Has anybody heard a date yet?
Nah.
No, not really. I mean, and you know how Apple is. You know, the rumor sites will come up with a date long before Apple will actually mention any possible date.
That's true. But, you know, this time around with the iPhone 5, the rumor sites were all dead on.
Yeah, they were. You can really tell that Steve isn't around anymore because of the fact that everybody knew everything that was going to be announced. There were no surprises at all in this recent Buena Vista extravaganza.
It was all leaked out long beforehand.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, most of the leaks in the past were like kind of close and almost accurate. You know, a few of them were kind of accurate, but just not totally complete. This one here was pretty much spot on. Everybody knew everything. The only thing they left out was that a lot of people were expecting the iPad Mini that Barry mentioned to be announced. You know, but even a lot of the rumors were saying, no, they won't do both at the same time.
Right.
They would lose some of their thunder if they did that.
Does anybody think that it was kind of a bad move, to change the iPod Nano from the little square shape that it had down to a rectangular video one? You know, because it was a full aftermarket of turning those things into a analog watch.
Yep.
Right. That has been totally screwed now.
I think they should have, if they wanted to make a longer one, they should have just come out with it, but also kept the square one. I think they totally screwed up on that.
You can use a totally digital device to simulate an analog watch anymore, because I was thinking of buying one because I thought it was like so really cool.
Yeah. Right. I think they should have kept them. They should have kept those, and if they wanted to make one where you could watch video a little better on them, then go ahead and come out with the...
Well, they did. It was called the iPod Touch.
Being the nerd that I am, I didn't want to watch video. I just wanted to see an analog clock on a digital device.
Oh, that was another thing, too, speaking of iPad. Did you hear one of the new things on the iPad that came out with iOS 6 was they came out with their clock app, finally, which was missing when it first came out, the iPad came out. And in doing so, they have a new clock face on it, and it's really nice. Apparently, they mimicked the one, where was it, Switzerland or someplace? One company, it's their rail clocks. It's the clocks they use on their railroads and all their terminals and things. And it was designed back in 1945, I think it was. And they have a patent on it. And they're talking about suing Apple for using their design.
Oh, wonderful. That's all we need is another friggin' patent lawsuit.
From a railroad company. So, yeah, more fun. Fun with Apple. So, shall we get off the Apple bandwagon now? The next one was an old story, but apparently Toshiba has come out with the first, well, it's probably not the first, but the first available for sale. What do they call it? The 4K TV. So you thought high def was good. 4K TV is like four times better than the high def that you have now.
I can't see that good anyway, so I don't need one.
Besides that, how much content is actually available for this?
Well, not now.
Okay, none. All right. We got it. So you don't need one yet.
But soon.
Soon, like 4 or 5 actually, years from now, we'll have
actually
the content.
I have heard
we'll
that
worry about that then, when the TV gets to be affordable.
Actually, I've heard, though, that a lot of movies are starting to go to the 4K cameras.
Oh,
so they are filming. They're creating movies with 4K cameras, and then they downstep
them. Public. The last thing Hollywood wants is to extend the theater experiment in the home any further than what it's already gone, because they're losing money. Because people are realizing I can get the same experience in my house with my TV and my stereo, and I can pause it and go to the bathroom when I want. I can laugh out loud with any time I want, have the snacks I want at a reasonable price, and not have to go spend $15 for a freaking ticket to sit there and be forced into their entertainment mode.
And drive to the theater at $4 a gallon.
Exactly.
But I want my Toshiba 84-inch 4K TV that has 3,840 by 2,160 pixels.
It might come with pickles.
Where you put all those pickles? You know what they're going to smell like in a while?
That's a big, big damn jar of pickles, man. That's what I want to let you know.
Get the stink really quick.
Well, they're gonna be available early next year for you, and I'm looking to see if they listed a price.
I think science is already medically and medical science has already proven that after the age of 30, for every year a male ages, I think we lose like 2% of our color definition and our vision. So quite frankly, that means I can't see red, blue, green, and orange like I did when I was 20 already. So do I really appreciate? No.
You know what kills me the most about that statistic? Isn't so much that they're not trying to counteract it, but the fact that they will spend billions of dollars to try to maintain the fact that an old man can still get an erection.
Exactly. You know what? Exactly. You nailed it. You nailed it right there.
I'd rather have eyesight than an erection.
Well, I'm sure they're coming out with a tablet for that, too. So when you really want to watch a movie on your whatever it was, your Toshiba Q36 explosive space modulator TV, you have to take the little green pill, but you can't really see green. So you have to feel the texture on it out of the bottle, out of the medicine cupboard. Take that, run in front, sit in front of your TV, and for 3 hours you can see like you did when you were 18. But if your blood pressure starts going up and it starts getting blurry, you're having a stroke, call a hospital.
But I was going to say, you could have both with this TV, because can you imagine porn on this thing?
Yeah, this will be the dawn of smell-o-vision.
That's like, whoa, that's a little too close, you know?
Hey, Jess. They have a pill that'll give you a 4-hour erection. Do you really care if you have any kind of visuals at all?
Yeah, really.
I mean, like, do you really care who's jumping on that?
Exactly. After 4 hours, I'm starting to think, you know what? If all the blood's down there, what the hell's my heart moving?
Oh, God. I can't find a price on these things. I'd love to know how much this puppy's going to cost.
You got to put sex somewhere in the title of this episode, Barry. You ought to title it 4-Hour Erection or TV.
Okay.
It's not misleading, because we eventually get to that. You know, we're discussing the values of either a television or a 4-hour erection. You know, which would you rather have? Would you rather be blind with a 4-hour erection or see this awesome television scene?
You got it. That's the name of it. Make it like a real title.
It's a good thing we're not depending upon this for our livelihood.
I know. Well, we'll see. We'll see whether using erection in the title will get us more listeners.
I'm not were you around for that episode, Josh, where we were discussing that the most popular episode of the BartyCast was one that was called Free Sex, Free Porn, Just Kidding, It's Only Another BartyCast?
Yep, I was around for that.
Okay.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about it now, 4-hour erection. I mean, and I can't be bothered. Just leave me alone. But, you know, you give me 2 good movies in a row, I can burn 4 hours. I'm enjoying myself.
As opposed to somebody else enjoying themselves.
You know, exactly. You know, it's like, I don't have the energy. I'm usually too tired anyway. Just leave me alone.
That's good.
Oh, jeez. All right, let's go.
Michael's become suspiciously quiet.
No, I'm still here.
Yeah, well, that wasn't my comment. It was that you were so suspiciously quiet.
He just can't believe just how far the show is degraded.
He's like, why do I hang around with these three guys?
Exactly. You know what? Maybe I don't want to do this.
It's so entertaining.
Well, let's move on.
It is late night, right?
Yeah, it is late night.
Right, okay.
Somewhere.
So let's talk about snow on the peninsula this week. What the hell, Michael?
Yeah, well, that's actually about, well, it's a little early maybe, but Tuesday afternoon, some people were coming up over the ridge, and I guess there was about 3 inches up on the ridge for a couple hours, but it was early, so it melted pretty quick. And then yesterday, I made a couple of trips back and forth to town so that my oldest son could actually have a social life. And as I was coming back yesterday afternoon, it was snowing really good as I came through Eagle River, which is about 20 miles south of here. And I told some of the locals about that, and like, no, it was sleet. I said, okay. It was really light, fluffy sleet. They were okay with that.
Are we talking about, Mike?
Not like you guys who got down there, but I'm at lake level here, which is 600 feet above sea level. And then the ridge gets up to, in some spots, about 730 feet above the lake. But it's enough, you know, considering we're an island and we get lake breeze no matter which way it blows from. If there's any moisture on it, it hits that ridge and it just dumps.
All right, so you're 1,200 feet above sea level, ballpark number.
On the ridge, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like 610 feet at the man cave here.
Right. I know up at Studio QRM in Jaffrey there, that's 1,190 feet above sea level.
Right. It's just about 1,200.
I know, because I froze my ass off driving off that mountain this afternoon. I was never so happy.
A lot of that was, you know, wind chill.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, it was a beautiful, gorgeous day, you know, at 60 degrees, but you take 60-degree weather and then do 60 miles an hour, and you're now down at 31 degrees. And you know it. You know, you're full gloves, full. I was never so happy in my life as to have my full-face helmet on as opposed to my open-face helmet, because I passed a few guys going up that mountain, and there were some truly miserable-looking individuals on those motorcycles.
Funny you should say that, Josh, because as I came out of Eagle River, there was a group of about 25 motorcycle riders. And they're doing like 15, 17 miles an hour down the road. And like, well, I can understand. You know, I rode for a long time. I can understand, right, especially if they're not familiar with the area.
Right.
And I'm on my way home, and I actually needed to go up to the top of Brockway Mountain I made some keys for the equipment cabinets up there, and I needed to drop them off at a township supervisor. So I figured I'd be nice and check them out first before I trudge all up there and find out that don't work.
Right.
So I'm following these motorcyclists down Michigan 26, which is a scenic route along Lake Superior. They're dealing with this light, fluffy sleet, and they make a right-hand turn to go up the mountain. I'm like, what are you guys thinking? This is going to get better.
Well, first they had to stop to put the chains on the tires. And then,
then they had the nerve to complain at the top. Like, well, what were you thinking? I was nice about it. And I said, by the way, if you're continuing on the road, what? Has any of you ever done this route before?
Yeah, you know, look at a map and look at a topographical map, because it's important when you're riding a motorcycle.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And it's pretty obvious if you're going up the side of a mountain.
It's going to get colder.
Look out. It's going to be high.
Yes. Yes. I did
you would think it would seem rather self-evident.
I did say to my wife, at some point, I think I may have to pull the trigger and buy a set of chaps, because when I did get into the house, I was nice and warm from the waist up and the full face helmet and my gloves and so on and so forth. No, I'm not complaining. It's just I didn't realize how numb my legs had gotten just wearing blue jeans from the wind. And until about 10, 12 minutes into the house, I went, what's that tingling sensation on my thighs? Oh, that's the blood coming back. And I thought, yeah, I said, I said to Debbie, I says, I got to get a pair of chaps. That way I can cut the wind. It wasn't so much cold as it was the wind. And the only problem is they got to kill a herd of cattle just to make chaps big enough that I could fit into. So there's going to be, 13 dead cows just to make two lakes.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, Michael, you had something down here about Netflix. Is that you? Did you put that in?
Yeah, that was me.
So what did they cancel?
I've become a fan of Netflix now that we finally reached the point. Even during the peak of tourist season here, mm-hmm. I'm in the habit of watching Netflix before I go to sleep at night on my iPhone, which is kind of ironic, You could see it a lot better on my iPad or any of the other devices I've got around, but the iPhone is handy. Normally at midnight, 1 in the morning, and things are quiet enough out there that there's enough bandwidth for me to watch it. And I've gotten pretty hooked in some of the series. They got some pretty good science stuff on there, and one of them is called The Universe. I don't know if you remember when that was on Discovery Channel back in, 2007. But it's like 64 episodes, and it's really cool, and I was really getting into it. And I was on like episode 26. Was that? It was Thursday night.
Yep.
And I'm watching it, and it hits midnight Eastern Standard Time, and the video stops. And this pop up window goes, "We're sorry, this video is no longer available on Instant View."
You're watching it.
Just bam. Now look. And I go back and I look, and the entire series is gone. It's gone. From the catalog.
You must save it. Right, you got to save it in your favorites. They did that to me. I was watching a whole series, and I never, I would always go on the TV back to, most recently watched and pick up where I left off.
Right.
And they did exactly the same thing to me, and I realized, so I researched it. If you find that show, whatever show that you like or series, and you save it into your favorites, so it's at the very top, and it's like it locks it in for your viewing. Even all when right. They try to pull it off the general menu, it's still available to you. So now
even when they end their subscription to it?
It's worked for me thus far. I've actually had television programs that they pulled off a half a year ago. Still in my favorites, and I can still watch it. It's sort of like until you take it off of your favorites, it won't pull off the menu. It's still available to you.
Hmm. I remember that. Now, what I'm thinking is probably Discovery Channel wants to release it for Christmas or something. But like, so I'm going to go out in Hulu and the other places and see if I can find it. But I was really into it. That show was done really, really well. Mm-hmm. Now, it kind of as a compensation, they have brought dinosaurs back. So I've been watching Not the Mama.
Oh, that show. I thought you were talking about the Discovery Dinosaur.
No. It's kind of gone out of level of education, I know, but
wow. I'd like to see that again. There were a lot of jokes in that. That was like a well put together.
The entire series is on Netflix right now.
Really?
Yeah. I used to be on Netflix. My wife and I used to subscribe to that. Back when they had the plan where you could spend $8 a month and get unlimited online streaming and two discs a month.
Yep.
And then they decided that they wanted to charge separate cost for those, and they told us that even though we had been customers for like 6 years with mm-hmm. the same plan, that we would have to double our price. Mm-hmm. To keep the same service. And I pretty much gave them the big middle finger and said, screw you. Yeah. And, I've really missed it because I like Netflix, especially when I'm on the road. I like being able to watch movies and TV shows. But since then, I've become an Amazon Prime subscriber. Mm-hmm. And you can watch a whole lot of stuff on Amazon Prime for free.
They are getting better and better. Amazon Prime keeps getting more stuff.
I've been really getting into Atlanta Stargate. Stargate Atlantis.
Awesome. And
I'm getting close to the end of the fifth season, which is pretty much the end of the show. And it's kind of like, wow, it's too bad this is ending because I'm really getting into this. But flipping through the selections, when I first started, I guess it was about a year ago, the sci-fi selections were rather limited. But since then, you know, I mean, I didn't pay much attention in the intervening years because, you know, it was like, okay, this is what I wanted to watch. I'm going to watch this. And I watched a few other things off and on. But now that I'm looking for a replacement, it's like the choices are like exploding. And it's like, wow, there's a lot of stuff you can see on here. If you're a Prime subscriber, you can watch it all for free. And anybody can watch it for a fee. But if you're a Prime subscriber, you really, really ought to check out the video on demand that Amazon offers because you're missing out on a lot of free video.
I got to say that the video, when they offered that to Prime subscribers, I've been toying with the idea of becoming a Prime subscriber. I had been for a while because I do order a lot of things from Amazon. And I said, well, it's, you know, it's like $75 a year or something like that, I think. But it was like, hey, do I buy that much that you know, I pay $75 and pretty much I get free shipping most of the time. Plus,
free,
you know,
2-day shipping.
Free 2-day shipping. Plus, there's a lot of deals for Prime and prices. Mm-hmm. But the thing that sold me to get it was when they made the video basically free for Prime subscribers. And not only that, but they have really increased their library of shows and movies and stuff.
Not everything is free for Prime subscribers. And the things that cost money are at a reduced cost to Prime subscribers. Right. But for the overall, I mean, the amount of free things that are available is growing astronomically. I mean, I can see Amazon really, really taking a good chunk of Netflix audience away. Mm-hmm. You know, if Amazon had done this a couple of years ago, when Amazon had screwed their customers like me, they would have like cleaned house.
Right.
Seriously.
Well, I think they timed
it. Would have been, you know, a perfect alternative, but you know, it didn't exist at that time.
I think what happened was is they started really upping their library about the same time they introduced the Fire, which, you know, so they wanted to have content for the Fire, and I think we can look forward to, you know, their libraries getting larger and larger. Netflix supposedly is doing good. I mean, they had that tumble with the price thing, and then they split them back up again. Well, they split them up so you can pay $17 to get both DVDs and streaming, or you can just pay $8 or $9, I think, for streaming only, or you can
It's $7.99.
You know, the whole thing is that people like, you know, my wife and I, we were Netflix customers for a long time. I think we were like with them for like 4 or 5 years, maybe 6 years, with the same plan. How the hell do you turn around one day and tell us, well, we want twice the amount of money to continue the same service we've been offering you for these past 5-6 years?
Yeah, it was,
you know,
crazy.
And that's the part that bothered me. If you want to change the terms for future customers, that's all fine and good. But to turn around and tell me, who's been a loyal customer for all these years, that, hey, bend over, buddy, because we're going to shove it in and forget the Vaseline. You know, it's like, oh, forget it. Forget it. I'm not loosening my belt. You get lost. And, you know, I have not ever considered Netflix ever since, even though I've missed them. But now I found a very viable alternative in Amazon. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very strongly growing alternative every other week.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got to say, too, of course, you have to pay for every show and stuff, but iTunes is not a bad place to go for video and stuff.
But I don't like paying for free television.
Yeah. Do they have commercials in them, though, in iTunes? I don't think they do.
No, they don't.
So, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, with a DVR, who sees commercials?
Exactly.
And if Netflix wins their court case, you can watch a show and cut the commercials out automatically.
Yeah. Well, that's on on the Dish Network with the Hapa.
Yeah, we have Dish. We don't have the Hapa, but we do have the Dish.
And you can you can skip right past the commercials.
Well, no. It's like a VCR thing. You have to like fast forward past the commercials, which we do routinely. But the Hopper is supposed to automatically bypass all commercials, and that's what they're being sued over.
Yeah,
I don't want to spend money on a Hopper until I find out if they're going to win this case.
Yeah,
you know, and they win this case, and they can automatically skip commercials for me. Yeah. Hell yeah, I'm spending the money.
And I got to admit, you know, it sounds bad, but I got to admit, TV shows really aren't free. You're supposed to watch advertising, and that's what pays for the shows.
Screw that. That's why I quit listening to the radio.
Well, then
podcasting is my mode of listening to new music. I haven't listened to the radio since 2005.
I agree. I mean, either.
I get sick and tired of listening to the same 10 songs over and over again every couple hours. It's screw this crap.
And you're taking the same 10, 15
songs and putting commercials in between them and then expecting us to listen to it over and over and over again? That's insanity. I'd rather download a podcast that has a dozen songs from a dozen different groups that it exposes me to a whole lot of new music that I wouldn't otherwise know.
Yeah. I agree, but you know, let's put it this way. The type of shows like the hour long shows, the drama shows, and things like that. I'll say sitcoms, but and I'll totally leave out reality shows because that's ridiculous.
No reality there.
Yeah, and no reality, and they're so cheap to make. But you know, in order to get those other shows, they do have to spend some money, and they do have to make money some way. And you know, they could charge us.
The biggest problem is they're spending too much money paying these actors.
I agree.
I mean, $1 million an episode. Who the hell deserves $1 million an episode?
Right. Right. Exactly.
You know, screw those guys.
Yeah, and you know, I find I'm watching less and less of that stuff, and I download quite a lot of video shows. Like I watch almost all the Twit shows.
That's a very good network.
Yeah.
And they're very professionally produced.
Yes, and it's unbelievable. I mean, and in today's day and age with the technology, hell, we could even put on a high definition show with very little effort with our freaking iPhones.
Yeah, and I'll use my BlackBerry.
Have to join the Apple community, and I don't know if we could get him to do that. So I am not in favor of a show that leaves Jash out.
I can turn the crank handle on the back of my BlackBerry and send images.
I can't live without Jash.
Why? Thank you.
Ever since Radio QRM, I am addicted to Jash.
Oh, hell, audio. I mean, all I usually end up saying is something that's inappropriate.
What do you think I'm waiting for?
You know what? I'm looking at this Amazon Prime right now, and there are a lot of programs on this, Barty. I mean, a lot. I'm looking at the whole lineup, and it's really impressive.
And it's growing all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really picked up the past year. When it first came out, I looked at it and was like, you know? But, now it's a totally different thing now.
It's right up there with I'm quite honest with you. They got one of my favorite show of all times. It's obviously from the UK. Mm-hmm. About cars. I'm not going to say anything more than that because I don't want to have to pay him any royalties. But it's season 17 of it, too. So, I mean, they actually have stuff that's more up to date than Netflix does with regards to this particular program. Wow. I'm impressed. I mean, and they got everything that Netflix has on it because that's how I watch TV. I got Netflix and Hulu Plus and a few other channels.
You got to watch because some of it isn't free. I mean, they've got it there, but even Prime members, especially if it's new.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like fresh.
I'm looking at the prices. It says Prime members. You know, the ones that I'm looking at are 000 and digital pre-order $17.99 or $1.64 per episode. So I'm actually looking for that.
So,
but you said what is it? $75 a year? You said
it's $75 a year, and that gives you deals on
$80, something like that.
And that gives you deals on Amazon too. I mean, yeah. you look
buy at things at reduced prices, and you get free 2-day shipping on anything you buy that's from Amazon. Now, you have to pay attention, because a lot of things you buy on Amazon is not exactly from Amazon. Because any one of us could become retailers selling things on Amazon, right. And the things that we sell are not necessarily acceptable for Amazon Prime free 2-day shipping.
Right.
Gotcha.
But still, a lot of the stuff is. And if you think about it, $75, you get all that on Amazon, plus the video and stuff. If you think of what you're paying on for Netflix for 1 year, even if you just have streaming, you're paying more than that.
Yeah, I'm paying, what is it now?
I can see the smoke coming out of his
ears. It's $7.99 a month for the streaming?
I think it's actually $9 a month.
Okay, times 12.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
it works out. And you know, the last episode that I was on, which I think was like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, one episode ago though.
Was it? That's right. Yeah. But we were talking about that Amazon and eBay were starting to do same day shipping.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And working there, because Amazon was doing it out of warehouses, and eBay was doing it in partnership with local stores.
Right.
There's an interesting twist to that whole conversation that we had, is that now Target and Walmart have both decided to stop selling Kindles.
Yes, I saw that.
The entire Kindle market is gone. But Target dropped it first, and then Walmart considered what they did, and they decided to go the same route.
Yeah.
So you could not go buy an Amazon Kindle from either of those two outlets.
Really?
Best Buy, Staples, and you know, stores of those types have decided that they will continue to sell those. But Walmart and Target are feeling serious pressure from Amazon, because people are going into their stores and going into Best Buy and Staples, looking at products, you know, being able to pick them up and look them out, check them out, and ask questions about them, and then going back to Amazon and saying, hey, I want to order this at a reduced price. And they're undercutting Walmart and Target's prices, which, you know, undercutting Target's not so hard, since, you know, they're above Walmart's.
Yeah,
right.
But they're able to sell this stuff. And if you're a Prime customer, you can buy stuff at a discount and get free 2-day shipping of anything you buy on Amazon. So it's like, you know, if you're in a major city area, major metropolitan area, you can get same day shipping of things that you would buy at Walmart right to your house.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Walmart is scared.
And
Target is scared. I mean, they've dropped Kindles from their sellings. Mm-hmm. You know.
That says a lot. I got to say too that the 2-day shipping from Amazon, oftentimes, even out here in Jaffrey, oftentimes that's wrong. I actually get it in 1 day.
Wow.
Yeah. Seriously, you know, I order it
in Redfield in the Tug Hill Plateau.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. If you get things shipped through UPS, they will deliver on the day they say. No questions asked. It doesn't matter how long it takes them. I've had deliveries get here as late as 7, 8 o'clock at night. If they say they're going to deliver on this date, they will be here. FedEx, on the other hand, around 4:30 p.m., they say it got too late for delivery, and they'll just say, screw it. They'll deliver the next day or the day after that.
Right, and especially FedEx Ground, because I think we talked about this before. What I found out is FedEx Ground is, well, it's not really FedEx. They franchise FedEx Ground out. Yeah. So they're separate businesses. And those guys,
if I have a choice, I always try to specify UPS.
Yes.
Because UPS will get it here on time.
And it's the easiest. They've got the best tracking, too.
Yeah, they do. They do.
So, yeah. So you can actually see it. You know, like the iPhone 5 here, right? I saw when I ordered it, I saw it was in some Chinese city. I can't even pronounce the name. Xinjiang Junggong. And then it went to Hong Kong. And then it went to Anchorage, Alaska. And then it made it down to Massachusetts. No, it got to Manchester. Went to Manchester.
Right.
From Alaska, it went straight to Manchester?
Yes.
That's a major change.
Yeah, well, I think Manchester's become a little bit of a hub for UPS.
Well, you know, it used to be that part of, I wish I could remember the details, but way back in the 40s and the 50s, not much longer after the whole Seward's purchase happened, there was a bill that was passed that any commerce going in and out of Alaska had to go through Seattle.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And it was like all flights used to go through Seattle. Hmm. You had to go through SeaTac to get to anywhere in the lower 48 from Alaska. And all shipping had to go through Seattle. And it added an amazing amount of cost to all shipping. You know, and like there were people in Alaska that were like railing about this for years, you know. So I guess it obviously must have finally got changed, probably sometime after Ted Stevens got, after he passed away, because, you know, he's probably getting kickbacks and stuff from all the political entities that were trying to keep the current system in place.
Yeah, because it went from Anchorage right to Manchester, and then it went down to, there's a major hub down in Massachusetts. I forget what town it's in.
Chelmsford.
Chelmsford. Yeah. Chelmsford. It went down to Chelmsford and then up to Keene and delivered to me.
Wow, that's crazy that it would go from Manchester to Chelmsford to Keene. Why couldn't it go from Manchester straight to Keene?
Well, who knows?
I mean, I think it goes straight there.
I know, but who knows? Because it probably, that's the airplanes land in Manchester, and then they probably ship it all down to Chelmsford, and then it gets distributed from there. Because Chelmsford must be a major.
But Chelmsford, there is one in Nashua.
Yes, there is.
There is, yes, but it's not a major hub. Or Keene's not connected to Nashua. Keene's connected to Chelmsford. I don't know. We'll have to ask the UPS people. So anyway, and wouldn't it be a lot faster? You know, think about the delivery we could get if we actually had warp drive.
Well, you know, there were scientific studies in the past couple of weeks that came out that said that there are a number of scientists who think that warp drive technology is actually feasible.
That's right.
They've determined that, yeah, we can do this. It's going to take quite a number of years to develop it, but the technology behind it is feasible.
And it was really interesting. They were saying that they're already developing a thing to detect warp bubbles, and it's some kind of warp interferon thing. And right now, of course, the warp bubbles are very small, and I think they're even being able to generate these little warp bubbles. But, you know, if they can do that, then it's just a matter of time before they make those bubbles big enough that you can put a ship inside it. You know, the whole concept of you know, warp drive, where, you know, you go into warp drive, you don't notice everybody getting flattened against the wall in the back. It's because really the ship's not moving anywhere. You're just warping time and space around it, you know.
Exactly.
And making it, you know, closer to get from point A to point B, because you warped the distance between it. So this is exciting. To me, it's exciting because it's like, wow, this could actually happen.
I was thinking about bringing this up, but I thought that you guys would say, oh, come on, where the hell did you read that crap?
I read the same thing.
Yeah, obviously. We subscribe to the same RSS feed.
Yeah, probably.
Never say never.
Yeah, I think that's neat. To me, you know, without warp drive or something like this, we will never explore the rest of the universe, because it's
takes too long to get there.
Right. I mean, just to get to our closest solar. You know,
considering the fact that we have pretty much gutted our space system, and we were dependent upon the stinking Russians to get our sorry asses into space.
Yeah.
You know, come on. That's a sorry state of existence for our space program.
It is.
You know, and then, you know, the Endeavor goes to L.A., and they're, like, cutting down hundreds of trees to drag it across the city streets to its final resting place. And it's like, come on. A place that has a hard time growing trees, you're going to cut all these off?
Isn't that... Please! Aren't all the green people living out there?
No, absolutely. But it's okay
because the Endeavor someplace else.
Their fearless leader.
There.
Their fearless leader on Pennsylvania Avenue and all his cronies said it's okay, so those trees can go.
Well, it's not up to him. He has no comment on it. It's, you know, the city of Los Angeles, the county of L.A. that has to decide this stuff, and they decided that it was worth their while to get the Endeavor there. I would have said, screw it. Park it someplace else. Put it outside Vandenberg. I mean, you could land it in Vandenberg, and, I mean, come on. How big is the gate? You could tear that down and build a new one and park it just outside of Vandy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, geez. Do you really want to tear down all these trees in a place that has a hard time growing them? To me, that's just total insanity.
It is. But, hey, you know what? That's what you get with the loony left. Hug a tree, love thy neighbor, kiss the enemy. You know how it is. Kill a tree just to drag a friggin' spaceship through the streets. You know,
a defunct spaceship.
Yeah, a defunct spaceship, but that's basically a shell. It's a play toy. It's a cabin for kitties to play.
You can display that anywhere in California. You don't have to, you know, sacrifice trees to park it someplace in particular.
No.
You know, I mean, what the hell? Leave it at LAX and find a piece at LAX that people can come visit it at.
Exactly. Just like
this is nuts. Or put it out in Edwards or something. Well, no, maybe not there because there's a lot of secret squirrel things going on there.
Exactly. You got super secret squirrel shit going on at Edwards. You can't keep it there.
Yeah, I was there for 5 years. I'll tell you, there's all kinds of weird things going on there.
Yeah.
We used to like, when it was. You know, on a shuttle-related note, we used to have a tracker that we used to... I worked out there on the B-2, and we had a tracker that could lock on the B-2 only because they purposely trailed a long-tail antenna on the back of it so we could find the antenna because obviously you can't track on the plane. But we used to track on the antenna and be able to get data from it and stuff because they used to broadcast things to us. But that tracker was also very, very handy to lock onto shuttles. And we could sit there and just watch shuttles come in and things like that. It was really pretty awesome. You could read data from it and things. It was really neat.
Nice, nice. Barry, make sure you edit that part out.
I did not say anything that was classified. Trust me.
While
I was at Edwards, it was really nice to watch shuttles come and go.
It would be fun just to edit that anyway. I could just, you know, beep it, you know. Oh, we used to beep and beep and beep. Yeah, you could actually watch what the shuttles are. Were you saying the B-2s come and go?
Well, I'm sorry. Oh, I mean, we could watch the B-2s, but we obviously didn't share those feeds. But we could lock onto the shuttle and watch the shuttle come in and stuff like that. But, you know, it was always funny because CNN had better feeds than we did. I mean, they were, like, off base, and they had better feeds than we did of incoming shuttle flights and stuff. And I always kind of wondered, well, you know, what kind of views do they have of the B-2, you know? Hmm. The only thing they didn't get, you know, is they didn't have, like, they couldn't lock on to the antenna beacon that was trailing behind it.
Right.
You know, so they really couldn't tell where the hell it was at.
Hmm.
But, you know, once it gets close enough, it's hard to miss it, you know? It's a great big black thing in the sky.
It's kind of big.
You know, when you see it in the distance, you can't find it on the horizon unless you know where to look, you know, because it's the way it's shaped and the way the curves are so rounded, you know, it's not like a typical aircraft. You really can't see it until it's almost upon you. And by the time you see it,
it's too late.
Basically, if you're the target, it's too late.
It was probably too late when it was way back over the horizon.
Exactly.
Wow. Hey, Michael, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What's the new source of power adapters?
Well, and I don't know why I didn't think about this before, although I wasn't really looking. You know, I'm pretty well supplied by one of my day jobs. Mm-hmm. But I was talking to a friend of mine at the coffee house here in town a couple days ago. And he goes, oh, by the way, do you know what this thing is? And he pulls out something suspiciously white with a USB cord on one side and a 30-pin connector on the other. I said, yeah, that's an iPad charger. You want it? well, I could always use a spare. And he goes, I said, you know, don't you need it? He goes, I didn't even know what it was. And he points to a shelf, and there's just piles of USB chargers and Apple chargers. And he goes, yeah, nobody ever comes back for them. And the number one industry here in Copper Harbor is service, hotels. People leave their chargers behind left and right and never call, never ask for them back.
Oh, my God.
Probably figure, you know, they're two or three stops down the road before they realize, you know, when their charge goes low that they forgot it somewhere. And they just go to Walmart and buy another one. So the guy's got a whole box and drawer and shelf full of various adapter cables and chargers. And I guess it's happening in every hotel up here.
Wow. I never thought about that. Wow.
Hey, Michael, one word. eBay.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, you hang on to him for like 6 months. And he starts telling me stories about things that were left behind. He goes, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I find and I throw out. We won't get into that too much. But, you know, our articles of clothing and stuff, he said, but, you know, people leave $5, $10 items behind. Or I said, well, this is more like a $40, $50 item for an iPad charger. Wow. But he said, yeah, right about that price point is when they start looking for them. He said, people leave DSLRs behind and cell phones. And generally they come back looking for them. He said, the one that really got me, he walked into a room after a guy checked out once, and there was this, like, you know, sports duffel bag, except it didn't quite look like a normal sports duffel bag, and he opened it up, and there's a clock inside.
A clock?
Ooh. Glock.
A Glock?
With a G. Glock.
Oh, a Glock.
A Glock. A police officer spent the night there on his way through.
Did he come back for it?
Looking for it.
Yeah. I was going to say, did he come back looking for it?
Yeah, he came back looking
Excuse
for
me,
it.
Did you find my Glock?
I seem to have but misplaced my gun.
I started talking to my wife about it. My wife used to work for some of the hotels cleaning up until about a year ago, and she just couldn't take dealing with the smell of chemicals anymore. But she goes, yeah, you'd be amazed at what people leave behind. Anyhow, so yeah, a new source of power adapters.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, do any of the rooms have an 84-inch 4K television in it?
Or, exactly.
Yeah.
No.
Barry will be there tomorrow.
Let me give you my shipping, my UPS shipper number so you can get that sent out to me. Exactly.
You're like, Barry, where are you going for vacation? I'm going to a hotel that has a big-ass TV.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. That's something else.
And you know what we missed this week? And I saw Michael kind of celebrated it on Facebook, but...
Oh, no, not all of us missed it. Not all of us. Some of us walked into their house, and their wife was going, "Arr-ay-arr," and I'm like, what the hell's the matter with you? Because I don't have Facebook.
We missed Talk Like a Pirate Day. who decided
that? I sit too much around here because my wife and I are Jimmy Buffett fans, and we're into, like, a pirate missing his profession because it's passed him by.
I just, why the 19th of October? How did that become? Is there any meaning to that?
Or why the hell not?
18th, wasn't it?
I don't know. 18th, 19th, whatever.
Yeah,
it's Wednesday. Potato.
I don't know. I think it's a Wednesday thing, isn't it?
It was a Wednesday thing. It was a Wednesday.
Oh, was it? So yeah, it's always like the middle Wednesday of October or something, or September?
Or September.
September, yes.
We're not in October yet.
I'm a month ahead of myself.
What? Thanks for coming to work
today. Check your calendar, Barry. Your iPhone is jumping you ahead.
Damn.
Go back to the 4S.
Siri, what month am I in?
There you go. Siri, what is the current month?
Yeah, I went ahead.
Siri, what is the current month?
You stupid dumbass.
Let me search for that on Google.
It's thinking.
It doesn't know.
It's thinking really hard.
She's searching Google. And Google's like, do I want to talk to an Apple app?
It's still thinking.
Buy a calendar, you dumbass.
Yeah, she might answer later on.
I love that, Jan. That's great. It'd be wonderful if she would come back and say that. Why? Don't you have a freaking calendar, asshole?
Got one on the phone. They can't even figure it out.
Sorry. Yeah, Barry, exactly. Wrong. The date's can on the freaking phone. Again?
Oh, she doesn't know.
Freaking serious.
What
stupid
month is it?
I have no.
She's
freaking
probably
clue.
Confused, thinking that that is a
you
trick question.
You don't have
question.
Any events on your calendar for today.
Okay.
Ask her what is today's date. She ought to get that.
What is today's date?
It's Sunday, September 23rd, 2012.
What day was Pirate Day?
Hang on. What day was Pirate Day?
Pirate Day. I'm on it. Okay, Gary, here you go.
Oh, she gave me a list. Talk Like a Pirate Day, 2012, Wednesday, 9/19.
Here we go.
Michael nailed it. It was a Wednesday.
Well, yeah.
All I know is I walked in the door and, you know, gave my wife a kiss, you know, coming home from work. And she went into her office and sat down. She went, "Arr, how was your day, honey? Arr." And I'm thinking, I think she's having a stroke. I don't know what the hell's going on here. And she's like, "Arr, don't you know what day it is, arr?" I'm like, "What the hell is the matter with you?" She goes, "Arr, it's Talk Like a Pirate Day, arr." And I'm thinking, she goes, "It was all over Facebook." And I'm like, "Arr, I don't have that crap." So
I went down. Because I'm stuck with a stupid BlackBerry piece of crap.
Oh, I got a story for that one. I don't mean to cut you off, Michael. I downloaded Foursquare. Guess what? It doesn't work on a BlackBerry. It thinks I'm in friggin' like Connecticut. It has no clue where the hell I am in my own house. Or
at least they got you in the right corner of the country.
It triangulated me down the East Coast. That's as close as
it's used the Apple Maps.
Yeah, really. That's a good one.
Yes, because you can now check into the QRM studios if you ever show up here.
I did show up there today, yeah. And I was freaking two towns away, according on my shit, Barry. And,
well, you know... You
I
know,
drive 77 miles home. I come all the way back here. I'm like, my wife says, "Hey, honey, you didn't check in." I'm like, "I pushed 37 fucking buttons on that thing to check in at QRM Studios. Nothing registered because it's the phone, not the software." I came in here. She says, "Well, honey, you could check in here." I look on it. It can't find me. I'm sitting actually in the place. She's created four of these little check-ins. None of them showed up. I'm like, "This phone sucks."
How do you really feel about it, Josh?
Well, that's the way I feel about my BlackBerry. I can't wait to get rid of this piece of crap. And the only reason I kept it this long is because I've been holding out for an iPhone 5. I could have got a 4S back in August 20th. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, any day now, I'm going to be able to order an iPhone 5 from the company, and I'm going to be like, "Yes, get rid of this piece of crap." I mean, I was joking with my boss that, you know, because I was on dialysis for a while, we had syringes so we could put different solutions in some of my stuff. Yeah. And I was like, you know, if I use one of those to put a little bit of water in the middle of one of these things, anybody be able to detect it? And he just looked at me and... just shook his head. He says, "I don't want to know about this."
Yeah, I want to inject super glue in mine. I mean, literally, I'm trying to figure out some creative way to destroy it. I actually thought about...
Well, the only thing is, what are they going to replace it with?
Anything. If it had a friggin' tin can with a string, that would be better than what I got.
Yeah, well, you know, I could have gotten a 4S, like I said, from August 20th on, but I figured I was this close to an iPhone 5. I might as well just wait it out.
Yeah.
And trust me, I've been browbeating the IT department saying, "When can I get an iPhone 5? When can I get an iPhone 5? And they're like, "Well, I don't know, but we can send you an iPhone 4S now." I says, "No, I don't want a 4S. I want a 5. When can I get a 5? And they're like, "Well, we can get you a 4S. I says, "Come on. check out the original question.
Well, you know? I don't want to say anything.
Call us next month.
I don't want to say anything, Barty, but based on the fact that I'm still using Windows XP at work, your chances of getting iPhone 5 soon.
That's going to go away 4S. By the end of the year, Barry. I've already been told. Yeah. They were asking me what model computer I had, how much memory I had, because they're going to be replacing all of these with Windows 7.
Yeah.
Now that Windows 8's coming.
I know. That's what I mean. How long's Windows 7 been out? Yeah, we're going to get Windows 7. We're upgrading to Windows 7.
Well, you know, we don't get Windows, because we're government contractors, we don't get Windows 7 until the government approves it. Yeah. And once they spread it widespread, then it's like, okay, now you contractors, you have to have Windows 7 by the end of the year.
Yeah, right. I was going to say.
And it's like, wait a minute, you're telling us this crap now that it's like, you know, near the end of September? And it's like, yeah, well, tough luck. You know,
I was going to say, we got a couple of computers that are owned by the government that are on government networks, and they're running Windows 7, and I'm still on XP with the company.
Yeah. Well, we have government-owned machines that are on XP that by the end of the year, they all have to be on Windows 7.
Good.
The IT folks are like, really? Why couldn't we start this like 2 months ago? So they're like rounding up all the information about all the machines that are not on Windows 7 now.
Yep. Yeah, they're coming around. And we're getting new phones, too. Not mobile phones. Interior phones.
I don't care about that. I'm using my interior phone. Anything that I can't type in commands on a keyboard, I don't want. Telephones, copy machines, things like that. Fax machines, I am totally lost. I am clueless in that kind of crap. I am so used to dealing with a computer interface that if I can't give commands on a clear, you know, UI, I'm screwed. You know, I can type in commands. That's good. I can mouse around and things. That's good. But when you got to press buttons on a weird ass stinking menu like copy machines and fax machines have and telephones, I'm lost. Most of the people in my office use like a headset when they talk on the phone. Yeah. So they can switch lines and walk around the office while they talk to people and stuff. I can't deal with that. I can't figure out all the buttons to make that crap work. You know? So I'm like old fashioned. You know, if I get screwed up because when the phone rings, I can't just pick it up and answer it. I got to figure out which freaking button to press to get the call. You know? And it's like, come on, people. This is nuts. And they all laugh at me, you know, because, oh, yeah, the old fart, you know, he's good at computers, but he can't figure out a freaking phone, you know.
Oh, well.
Throw me.
The
more complex they make them, the less chance I have to figure them out. I know that probably the next phone iteration will not work without a headset, and I'm going to be totally screwed. I'm going to be cut customers off and all this kind of crap.
It's all
because I don't know how to use the button interface.
It's all going to be VoIP.
Yeah. Unless it's a touchscreen, you know, because, hey, I'm good with a finger, you know. I just want
buttons. Our telephone system at our work is all VoIP, and when I put my contacts into my telephone, like for speed dial, I go on to the website, and I load into the website through the actual secure link, and I load in under my account all my contacts, and then whoop, magically it shows up on the screen on my VoIP telephone in my office.
Nice.
So that being said...
Yeah, we have all our contacts available as well.
Yeah, but on a VoIP telephone, ours is a Cisco Systems.
So ours.
Exactly. That's what we're going to.
Right. I will say this much,
You're
though.
Not there yet, Barry?
No, we have archaic old 1960s push-button phones.
Nice.
Damn, I would love that one of those. That's something I can understand and deal with. You know, when an incoming call comes in, that line blinks. I can press that button and pick up the phone and say, hello, dude. You know?
There's no line buttons. There's only one line. Mm-hmm. Well, we all have our own phone numbers. But it actually has a bell. It rings.
Nice. Damn, I missed that. We have these Cisco phones that have like multiple lines coming in. And when it rings, you can't just pick up the phone and say hello. Because you're not going to get anything. You have to press some stinking button somewhere to say, hey, I want to answer this line or that line or whatever. And that always throws me because I'm always looking at it because, it, you know, it's like a little LCD screen and with little lines. And I'm like, oh, which freaking button is that line going to? You know, I can never figure it out. Why can't I have a phone where I can just press a blinking lighted button and then pick it up and say, hey, I want to talk to you.
Well,
you know, like the old days. You know, we had the phone with there was like six buttons across the front, and whenever line was active, it was blinking. Mm-hmm. You could press the blinking one down and pick up the phone, and you were connected. What a concept!
Nice.
Yeah, I tell you, I can do all kinds of crap with computers, but with these digital phones, I'm lost. There's no keyboard. There's no display monitor. I just don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well. It's going away. Well, it sounds like you're already VoIP, so we're playing catch up with your office, I guess.
Yeah, we are VoIP, and we put the same Cisco phones that Jash is talking about.
That's what we're going to.
Well, there's multiple. There's definitely multiple different models. Like mine has a full LCD display on it.
Yeah, so does ours.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, my customer phone is.
The thing is, it's all kind of cryptic. Because it doesn't tell you what button to push to pick up that line.
Yeah.
That's a program setting.
Call, and you know, you're like, yeah, okay. How do I answer it?
Right.
Even on my own number. Mm-hmm. Like, when my wife calls me at work, I can't just grab the phone and answer it. There's some freaking button somewhere I have to push to activate that line before I pick it up.
That's a program setting, though. You can change that on the backbone. Most times I find a lot of IT departments don't know how to set up the phones the right way. Because when I help set up the system at our whole entire plant, and I found out that the guys at corporate IT actually had it set up so screwed up, it was barely functional. So I went in and contacted Cisco Systems. And it's not part of my gig. It's just I like my shit to work.
Exactly.
So I went ahead and started setting it up and actually downloaded and contacted them and then was advising our IT folks just where they went awry on setting up the phones. That is actual program setting in the Cisco, almost every Cisco system where it'll flash. I have multiple lines, dedicated numbers to my office, but when I pick it up, when it rings and it flashes, I pick it up. It defaults to the line it has incoming. So you don't have to press
that'd
any
be
buttons.
So cool. That'd be like a real phone.
It works like a real phone, except you can hear it Cylon with the VoIP. You can hear blah, 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 blah. And you're like, what the hell is that? And every once in a while, and then they also, at least what I've experienced, is that they get a little quirky, and after you get to 30 minutes, it just drops the call.
Well, that's nice.
But we haven't really ran into that too much. I mean, we've had calls that have lasted hours and without any trouble. So we don't have that problem.
Okay, guys, I'm still trying to figure out how we got from Talk Like a Pirate Day to office
telephone. We're talking on a phone like a pirate. We pick up the phone and go, arr, who are you? Arr. What do you want?
Arr,
how this goes. Michael, are you still there?
Yeah.
Like, are you about done that growler?
I did want to get back to Talk Like a Pirate Day for a second.
Okay.
You know, I did the traditional, you know, the tweets and the Facebook of RRR. And,
yeah, I saw you.
He posted a picture of a three-masted schooner that was here 2 years ago in the harbor, which was a pretty
cool
day.
That was a nice picture.
Yes, that was
complete pretty. With the black flag at the top I liked. But my neighbor did the most original thing. He posted on Facebook, and most people didn't get it, but he put up a post and said, again, this was last Wednesday, dude, that tracker sucks. Too many leeches. I couldn't even get all of season one and two before the last cedars dropped off. And then he hashtag after it, talk like a pirate day. People are going, huh? Huh?
I thought
that was pretty inventive. Actually.
Yeah,
had to be a geek to understand it, but
yeah.
On that fun note, I really need to get going.
Okay, well, I wanted to hear real quick about the new laundry room before we leave.
It's a big event for us. You know, our original washer and dryer we bought when we got married lasted 22 years.
Holy cow, but, you made a good choice.
Yeah, considering we, you know, especially most of that 20 years was on the farm. We were washing horse blankets and pads and all kinds of stuff that you really shouldn't be running through, even through heavy-duty machines.
I love it.
They lasted up until last summer. They started showing signs of, you know, you better start making plans because we ain't going to be around much longer.
Bearings were going and things were squeaking and groaning. Going.
We were actually having to down the washer. We had to manually advance each cycle
because
the timer wouldn't turn anymore. But so I guess about January, we picked a new washer and dryer and put it on layaway, and we were going to just pick it up at the end of the month. And then, was it $3,500 in vehicle repairs later? We had to postpone that. And it just continued on until it took us 9 months to pay it off. But Tuesday, last Friday, we paid them off and got a delivery for Tuesday. So I went in Tuesday and removed the washer and dryer that we had in there that were loaned by one of our neighbors, gutted all the shelves out, just cleaned the room out, and we went from conventional side-by-sides, and I know this doesn't really make a lot of our listeners all that excited, but went from traditional side-by-sides to two extra-capacity front loaders that were stacked, which recovers about two-thirds of my room. Wow. Now, in a house that's 900 square feet total, any square foot you get back is a big deal.
Yeah.
We used to have to walk into the laundry room, and you had to put the dryer door up, walk sideways past the dryer, put the dryer door back down, move the laundry basket off the washer on top of the dryer, open up the lid to the washer, throw everything in the dryer, put the lid down from the washer, put the laundry basket back on top of the washer, lift the door to the dryer, and then scoot your way back out of the laundry room again. That's how we did laundry for the last 4 years.
Wow.
So now we've got these large capacity front loaders that, of course, I had to move the 220 and I had to put a new dryer vent in. But, and then being the total geek that I was, the first couple loads, I stood there and watched.
It's a miracle.
I just watched it spin.
With a tear coming down his cheek.
Yeah, you know, it's always the little things in life that make things most special.
I was thinking, boy, the engineering on this must really be cool. They must have done that and that, you know, and it does this kind of half turn, that half turn. It must be what measuring the way the clothing, figuring out the capacity and figuring out the, you know, just like an engineer.
And what Michael's not telling you is right after that, watching the laundry go through, he promptly took both of the washer and dryer apart to see how it worked.
My friend would call his significant other the wife unit. That would not go over too well.
True. All right, guys, we better wrap it up because we're going long now, and Barty's got to go do his meds.
Yeah, exactly, Barry. I didn't want to say that. But,
you didn't want to say
that? Bringing that up.
Well, how are you doing, Barty, speaking of that? Because we have talked about
it. I'm doing pretty good. I had two blood tests last week, and my creatinine level was 1.7 and 1.8, which is pretty good for me since they were kind of panicking when it was approaching 2.0 and above. So staying below that is a good thing. All the other numbers, the phosphorus and the magnesium and all that other kind of weird things they measure, were all very, very good and in range.
Excellent.
And in fact, they're kind of cutting some of my medications down. They're turning down some of my steroids and things, which is always a good thing.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm progressing pretty well.
Yeah, well, sound...
Thanks for asking. I really appreciate that.
No, you sound great, too. I mean, you look great. You sound great. I mean, so it's...
he says that with the video on. But I appreciate that, Barry. Yeah, I know. Before the podcast started, we were all on video and looking at each other and stuff. Then decided we were all too ugly to look at and turned it off.
All right. So, again, we have a musical guest tonight. It's a group, Lennon Bermuda, which is a tribute band for John Lennon, and the song Watching the Wheels, Rachel Brown. We'll hear that right after we say our goodbyes and to all the military out there, both CONUS, OCONUS, again, thanks for what you do, and we're remembering you, and especially you Oconus guys out in the bad places. We hope you get home real soon to your family and friends here. And with that, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
Josh.
And from the Tug-Hill Plateau, this is Barty.
And no, this is not an RV camping spot, but I am on the shores of Lake Superior in the man cave. It's Michael the Virgin.
All right, and we'll see you all next week. Here is Lennon Bermuda.
People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Really give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin. When I say that I'm okay, well, they look at me kind of strange. Say I'm lazy, dreaming my life away. Well, they give me all kinds of advice designed to enlighten me. When I tell them that I'm doing fine, watching shadows on the wall, you miss the big time, boy, you're no longer on the ball. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. I really love to watch them roll. No longer riding on the merry-go-round. People asking questions, lost in confusion. Well, I tell them there's no problem, shake their heads and they look at me as if I've lost my mind. I tell them there's no hurry, I'm just sitting here doing time. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. I really love to watch them roll.
Samson, speak. Good boy.